Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Well, we could be heading for petrol prices close to the €2 mark by the end of the year. Fuel prices are now on average standing at €1.85 for petrol and diesel. And pressure will come on the government not to restore excise duty rates to their original levels. That's expected to happen at the end of October. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Oisín Coughlan from Friends of the Earth, Verona Murphy, Independent TD for Wexford, and Lorcan Allen from The Business Post. But I want to start with Blake Boland, Head of Communications with AA Ireland. So Blake, will you take us through the average prices, what they were in August compared to where we are now at the end of September?
That's right. Yeah, we're seeing a market increase. So our fuel price survey there showed 185 for both petrol and diesel for this month. And that is up markedly. Petrol was at 170 last month. So that's a 9% increase, but even more dramatic rise on diesel. So that's up from 164, which is a 13% increase. So huge difference in the figures there.
So let's look at what happens if the oil price remains the same, but the excise duty returns at the end of October. What will the price look like then?
So we're heading for something in and around that early 190s. So on now we've had, what we're going to have really is the third tranche, the final tranche of the fuel excise duty restorations. So that's going to see 8 cent on petrol and 6 cent on diesel. We also are planning to have a small addition in terms of carbon tax in the budget. So if the market stays the same, if nothing else changes, we're still going to see prices in that early 190s, you know, 192, 193 thereabouts at the end of October.
But the big proviso there is if the market stays the same. So if we see any increases in the wholesale price of oil, we're in trouble, and that's when we're heading for €2. So this is where EVs come into their own, isn't it? Because electricity prices have been falling. So if you have an electric vehicle, you're really seeing the benefit of that now.
That's right. Yeah. And it's a market swing. EV drivers were quite frustrated there because we saw after the invasion of the Ukraine that the wholesale price of gas, which really drives the price of electricity in Ireland, massively increased. And this is the same for you and I on our home electricity bills. We saw electricity going way, way up. And it's taken a very, very long time for that to come back down, even though the wholesale price of gas and electricity has dropped. So EV drivers are a little bit happier. We're seeing pretty much all of the major suppliers in Ireland now dropping their prices. Tesla superchargers are much cheaper, and we expect the other charging network operators to drop their prices soon.
Blake, thank you very much. Blake Boland there. Lorcan Allen, as I said, is with us as well from The Business Post. And we want to look at the wider issue now, Lorcan, geopolitical factors pushing up diesel and petrol prices. How is that impacting what we're paying at the pumps?
Yeah, that's right, Claire. I mean, you know, if you take it from a macro perspective, a barrel of oil has risen in price by about 30% since June, and it's pushed up close to that $100 a barrel mark, which is a kind of an inflection point, I suppose, for energy markets. And this is the highest level that oil prices have been since the peak of the energy crisis last summer. So, I mean, what's driving that? Some of the biggest producers in the Middle East have announced that they're going to cut supply until the end of this year. So that's obviously propping up prices. And as well, the US and European economies have proven to be quite much stronger than anticipated than they were at the start of the year. So consumption and economic activity remains really strong. So that's, you know, driving consumption of oil. Oil stocks are down, and it's just a classic case of supply and demand. And oil prices have risen sharply, and you know, forecasts are that they probably will go over $100 a barrel. In the short term, which is obviously not good for consumers.
Because Blake was telling us there that if nothing happens to the base oil price, we're looking at something over 190 a litre for petrol and diesel. You're saying that that other factor is likely to come into play, and that the wholesale price is forecast to go up again.
Yeah, that's what certainly futures markets are pricing in, that, you know, they're betting, investors are betting that oil prices will rise further. And what's interesting about this is that economists are worried now that this rise in oil prices over the last couple of months could sort of drive a third wave of inflation that maybe we weren't expecting. So the start of the inflation crisis was energy costs going up. And then as that, those energy costs fed into manufacturing businesses and food producers, we saw prices for goods going up. And now oil prices are coming up again, just as interest rates are at 4%, which is a big worry. The other thing as well, Claire, that's impacting as well prices, US dollar has been very strong over the last 10 months. It's rallied quite strongly against the euro and other currencies. And all commodities are priced in dollars. So when we're Irish importers of oil or buying oil on the world market, they're paying in dollars. So they're getting less for their euro of what they're buying. And that's all this obviously driving up costs as well here for Irish
consumers.
So
we could be at the raw end of it. But there are other factors at play that make our prices for petrol, diesel and home heating oil higher than many other places, Lorcan.
Yeah, that's right. We have considerable excise duties and taxes on our fuel prices for petrol and diesel. I mean, between 50 and 60% of the cost of at the pump is excise duties, carbon taxes and VAT that the government levies on fuel. The government collects over 2 billion euros a year in those taxes. So it's a very significant revenue stream for the government. And as Blake was outlining, you know, those excise duties were cut at the start of 2022 as part of the cost of living measures to try and help consumers. But they've been phased back in again. We've 6 cents a litre was added at the back in June. There was another price increase then in September. And the third and final one is expected at the end of October. So they've added, when they're all added up, those excise duties will add a further 20 cents to the cost of petrol and diesel in the space of just a few months at a time when oil prices are also rising. So you can see the inflation effect that's having.
How do our excise duties here compare to the rest of Europe?
Yeah, we're very high, and because we import as well so much, like all of our oil, we have no natural levies. We have, we're very exposed to this as well. So we are one of the highest taxes of oil in Europe. And look, there's good reason for that. The state is trying to lever revenues that it can then use to incentivize people to switch to electric vehicles or to retrofit their homes so that they don't need, kerosene, that they can have a heat pump. But it's been slow uptake on that. And I suppose the problem with excise duties as well, it's a blunt instrument. And often the most vulnerable in society are hit by these hardest because they're the ones who are least able to afford an electric car or to spend thousands retrofitting their home and installing a heat pump.
Lorcan, thank you very much. Lorcan Allen there from the Business Post. As I said, Verona Murphy, independent TD for Wexford, is on the line as well. And Verona, we know that you came from the haulage business as their representative, but now you see it's very difficult for hauliers to operate with that price of fuel continuing to rise like this. In fact, we had one haulier on this show very recently who had decided to close up shop because of the rising prices.
That's right, and I heard that particular interview, and I have to say, Claire, hauliers are very concerned because ultimately any price increase serves to erode not only their competitiveness but that of Irish exporters. And I think that's, no matter what happens, the price increase is going to be passed on to the consumer and the consumer will pay. And where we're at the minute is that particularly those in rural Ireland who have little or no alternative to using their car are having to pay in, as they see it, excessive amounts. People find it incomprehensible that a government would actually increase excise at a time when they don't need the tax take, they feel. The public feel they don't need it. We're constantly hearing about the corporate tax take and how advanced it is. And what we're seeing are rural dwellers finding it very difficult to make ends meet. Whilst these are middle income earners, particularly who are working and using their car, that a government can take 58% out of a litre of diesel and 53% out of petrol, whilst they're paying income tax and USC, they are just finding it incomprehensible,
Verona,
and they persist in bleeding them dry.
The indications are though, Verona, that the excise increase that is due, or the reinstatement of the excise, that isn't going to happen. That may be announced in the budget. Would that be enough? Would that cut it?
Not at all. I'm talking about the one from the 1st of September, on the same day that they increased VAT from 9% to 13.5%. If you know, on food and beverages, if a family only want to take their children to McDonald's, it's an increase in the cost of living. If a family now, like you're talking about electric cars and infrastructure, nobody, absolutely nobody I know can afford an electric car in the middle income bracket. They are to the pin of their collar. If they're paying health insurance, that's gone up. The problem with the increases of this nature is it's driving inflation, and we saw that last month for the first time since May, inflation has risen. So I think it's rural Ireland is unfairly being penalised. Government have alternatives that have been put to them, and Oisin will tell you hydrogenated vegetable oil is a much cleaner alternative, 90% less carbon emissions, yet government insist on taxing it as a fossil fuel. So that alternative can't be instituted because it is a little dearer than the price of a fossil fuel per litre before excise, and hauliers won't use it because it adds 15% a litre to the bottom line. Government have alternatives. They're taking the easy option. They're penalising those who have no way to fight back except when it comes to election time. And okay, that's what I'm hearing.
Oisin, do you agree with that, that they're penalising the people who can least afford it?
Well, certainly I'm very conscious, as a driver as well as a cyclist, how expensive fuel is now and how it's going back up towards its peak. And it is important, it's worth remembering the excise duty, and the Verona has outlined how much it is. That's not a behaviour change tax. That's not what it's there for. It's there to raise money for the government. The carbon tax, by contrast, is very small. And to be honest, the carbon tax signal at the moment is being lost in the volatility of the market and the overall price increases since last year. So I would not be dying in a ditch about either the carbon tax signal this year. I mean, it is going to go up over time, and that's an important signal. But particularly the much bigger excise duty increase at the end of October, I could understand why we might give consumers a break on that for the next while. But I think it's part of a bigger picture, because it's very clear now that the pricing mechanisms on fuel is not going to cut it as the way we need to do to reduce our emissions by 50% in transport by 2030. And we're going to have to look at much more proactive measures. And apart from anything else, because we will see a rise in EVs over time, and I totally agree that they're very expensive right now, excise duty on petrol and diesel is going to fall for the state anyway. So the state has to start looking at alternative revenue sources to make up for that. So, for example, someone, Professor Daly from UCC, was in front of an Oireachtas committee this week saying that VRT should not just include emissions, but should include weight, so that we don't have so many large cars, electric as well as SUVs, cluttering up our streets. Mm-hmm. And you raise that tax significantly over time so that you get more reasonably sized cars and you replace the revenue that's being lost.
On new cars, VRT on new cars.
Exactly, because that doesn't penalise people who can't afford, and many of us don't ever buy new cars, and people who do buy new cars are people who can afford it. So therefore you are skewing your tax towards those who have more money and who can afford to pay it, and you're not penalising those who are more dependent. And I would also say we need to look at things like congestion charges on the canals in Dublin, and by contrast, targeting the EV grants towards people in rural Ireland who have fewer alternatives and who need their cars, give them the grants, and start putting congestion charges per kilometre on the M50, not just those who are crossing one bridge, and congestion charges on the canal.
That would hit the people, though, Verona's talking about, wouldn't it, Verona?
Yes, it would. And equally, we have tolls on motorways in Dublin that are congested. But I think at the end of the day, targets that Oisin has just mentioned were probably always too ambitious and were never going to be able to be met. And I find that that's what we get. You'll find every target is not going to be met from every country simply because they're set by people who don't have practical experience in any of the sectors. I've been in Europe. I've lobbied as the IRHA president. It never ceases to amaze me how people who have no concept of how sectors and industries work sit around tables and make these decisions. And I think that's where we're falling down in the nitrates directive. That's where we're falling down.
Just let Oisin respond to that, because Oisin, you might see yourself as being the target of what Oisin, what Verona has just said.
Well, I mean, what Verona is saying just isn't good enough, I'm afraid. Like, the reason why we have such challenging targets now is because we waited 20 years to start. And we listen to the siren.
Why aren't you promoting the
interest.
Use of HVO? Why aren't you promoting and asking government to take away the excise duty on HVO, a hydrogenated vegetable oil with 90% less emissions?
Yes. Let me answer. HVO is not a sustainable long-term solution. Electrification will play a larger role, even in haulage, compared to HVO. Because HVO is
so the mining of lithium batteries. You're trying to tell the public that the mining of lithium batteries would be a greener alternative than growing hydrogenated vegetables, something that could support our agriculture industry, which we badly need at this point in time, given the nitrates directive and the penalisation of our dairy sector. We have alternatives, Oisin. You're only choosing to promote the ones that suit you. And I think ultimately a hydrogenated vegetable oil is a very good alternative. We can reduce emissions while using it.
Verona, just let Oisin respond to all of that. Go ahead.
So I have literally no vested interest between electrification versus HVO. I'm looking and being advised on what the best science is. And the science is that the amount of land required to grow that oil would displace food crops around the world and would not be sustainable in the long term. Whereas electrification, the technology is changing so fast, would provide a larger part of the
solution. That's the same science that you told us.
Verona, just let him respond. Verona, just allow him to make his point.
You were advocating, Verona, for what is the least amount of change required for your sector, which is understandable, but it's not how public policy should be made. We need to move our haulage away from road over time. Germany has 31% of its haulage by rail. We need to connect Rosslare to proper rail links. We need to begin a shift. We have a huge way to go, but it's not like this is an optional alternative. We are seeing what climate breakdown looks like around the world, and we can't say it's just too much effort. No one told us it's too fast. We have to move and move fast. It's going to be disruptive. It's going to be inconvenient. But the alternative is destruction and disaster. And that's not anymore.
Okay, Verona, go ahead. Briefly respond.
I don't understand where Oisin is coming from when he says, in my sector, I'm a politician now and I'm looking after the rights of the people and the voice of the people who voted me in to be a TD. The consumer will ultimately pay. If you increase the cost of the haulage sector, you increase the cost of everything that comes into any household or that is sold on any market. The reality is that we can reduce emissions currently using HVO. There is not a viable alternative to fossil fuel for the commercial sector. That's a fact. HVO is a cleaner, 90% less emissions. That's something that should be promoted
Oisin,
be given an incentive.
Oisin, we heard, doesn't agree with that.
We need to start building the infrastructure for electric vehicles for haulage as well.
Thank you both. We're going to leave it there. That's Verona Murphy and Oisin Coughlin. Thank you both for joining us. We will have Brendan O'Connor from the Garda Representative Association here after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.